Welcome to the July 14th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today is led by UUC member Reverend Jamie McReynolds, who was assisted by Worship Associate Earl Irwin. The title of Rev. Jamie's sermon is Us and Them. The podcast begins with Earl's introduction of Rev. Jamie, and it closes with Rev. Jamie's closing words.
I'm Earl Irwin, your worship associate this morning, and with me is our guest minister, Rev. Jamie McReynolds. I have to admit that introducing Rev. Jamie as guest anything seems a bit strange, since he very much is an active member of this community and participates in the life of our congregation in many ways, including as the supportive life partner to our full-time minister, Rev. Pam Phillips. Just in case you've missed out on hearing some of Rev. Jamie's other accomplishments, he received his Master of Divinity degree from Star King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, California in 2009. And was ordained in his home church in Santa Rosa, California in 2012. He has served as a hospital and hospice chaplain.
Good morning. Our opening words this morning come from Abraham Lincoln's 1861 inaugural address. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will yet swell the chorus of the union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. For our meditation hymn today, this is a loving kindness or metta meditation that some of you may know from when Rev. Darrow was here. So I invite you to find a comfortable position, placing your feet flat on the floor. Place your left hand over your heart and your right hand on your belly, just below your rib cage. Feel your heartbeat, something you share with every living person. Feel your breath as your belly rises and falls. In the first verse of our loving kindness meditation, we will wish ourselves safety, wellness, joy, and a desire to be free from suffering. In the second verse, we look beyond ourselves, wishing that same safety, wellness, happiness, and freedom from suffering to another person. If you feel comfortable, and even if you don't, bring your palms together at chest level, offering someone close to you the gesture of namaste. With this gesture, you're saying, "The light in me greets the light in you." For the third verse, we expand this wish for safety, wellness, happiness, and freedom from suffering to everyone who we consider part of we. How inclusive is your we? Or put another way, how exclusive is your we? How might we be more inclusive and less exclusive? Offer your gesture of namaste to everyone you consider we. And finally, we expand this wish for safety, wellness, happiness, and freedom from suffering to all beings, not only human beings, but all sentient beings. Close your eyes for this verse and offer namaste, sharing the light in you with all sentient beings. After we finish singing the fourth verse, we'll sit in silence for a couple of minutes. And the words are in your order of service.
May you know joy.
Our reading this morning is by Margaret Wheatley. There is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. Ask what's possible, not what's wrong. Keep asking. Notice what you care about. Assume that many others share your dreams. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you know. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everybody who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everyone is an expert about something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. Remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Real listening always brings people closer together. Trust that meaningful conversations can change the world. Rely on human goodness. Stay together.
Friends, we've got trouble. Yes, we've got trouble right here in the New River Valley. Yes, I said trouble. And that starts with T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for polarization. Our house, our nation is on fire, and we are the volunteer fire brigade. And some of us are adding fuel to this fire. We are on fire with each other. In our covenant that we read together, we spoke of building a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. I'm here today to challenge us to look beyond our community and use our courageous love to start conversations that matter, to talk to people you never talk to, and be intrigued by the differences you hear. Our nation is increasingly a house divided, more polarized than we've been since the Civil War. This morning, I'd like to explore the increasing division into us and them, and how courageous love can help us bridge that divide. According to Pew Research, there's growing animosity towards the other political party, with 91% of Republicans agreeing with the statement, "Democrats are very unfavorable." And 86% of Democrats agreeing with the statement, "Republicans are very unfavorable." Parents are much less accepting of their child entering into a mixed marriage, with almost 50% agreeing with the statement, "I would be displeased if my child married someone of the opposing political party." In 1980, 40 years ago, only 10% agreed with this statement. Research by Stanford economist Matthew Getzko found that never since the Civil War has American political speech been so partisan and polarizing. While Democrats use phrases like undocumented workers and tax breaks for the wealthy, Republicans talk about illegal aliens and tax reform. The starkly different languages Democrats and Republicans speak today is contributing to the hostility members of both parties harbor for each other. A majority of people now assume political motive asymmetry, that my ideology is based in love, but the ideology of those of the other party is based in hate. Last month, the group More in Common published a study of the perception gap between Democrats and Republicans. The study reveals that both Democrats and Republicans have a deeply distorted understanding of each other. And there is an inverse relationship between education and perception, especially with Democrats. This effect is so strong that Democrats without a high school diploma are 3 times more accurate in their perceptions of Republicans than Democrats with a postgraduate degree. And the larger the perception gap, the more negative people's views are of the other side. In short, we've got some mighty smart folks that need to step out of their bubble more often. Now, you may be thinking, why is political polarization a religious or spiritual issue? Because our political positions are undergirded by our key moral values. A fundamental factor in the widening gap between liberals and conservatives is the emphasis on different moral values. Without understanding those differences, we cannot help bridge this divide and see our common humanity. As Unitarian Universalists, we affirm and promote 7 principles, 4 of which come into play when we consider political polarization. Our first principle affirms the inherent worth and dignity of every person, even those we seriously disagree with. Our 5th principle affirms the right of conscience and the use of democratic process. Polarization is endangering our democracy. Our 6th principle, promoting the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, is a pipe dream unless we reduce this polarization. And finally, our 7th principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, calls us to engage in respectful dialogue, whenever possible, with those who have very different moral values. Polarization is magnified by focusing on our differences rather than what we have in common. The loving kindness meditation we sang earlier expands our circle of concern from me to you to we to all. We first offered kindness to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be well. May I know joy. May I be free. These are all basic needs that we all share. May I be safe. We all need safety. If we do not feel safe, we keep our guard up. We keep our heart guarded. We can't be vulnerable. May I be well. We all need physical and mental wellness. If we don't feel healthy, we must focus on our own healing, making it hard to connect with others, even those close to us. May I know joy. We all want to be happy. This desire is enshrined in our Declaration of Independence that we celebrated recently, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. May I be free. The loving kindness meditation refers to freedom from suffering rather than individual liberty. We can be free and still be suffering. And the alleviation of suffering is the primary focus of Buddhism. We all want to be free from suffering. Singing the loving kindness meditation reminds us of our common humanity, expanding who we include as us, and that we all share these needs. Perhaps the next time you find yourself getting frustrated with someone who has the wrong political views, recalling this meditation might help you calm down and remind you that we all share basic needs. Looking beyond ourselves, we wish those basic needs of safety, wellness, happiness, and freedom from suffering to another individual. But we may have different ideas of what satisfies those needs, which leads us to pursue different strategies. This can cause friction in our personal relationships. Does that sound familiar? Take safety, for instance. Some people only feel safe around people that are like them, while others revel in diversity. Some people thrive on being with others, while other people prize their alone time. As we look to the collective we wish them safety, wellness, joy, and freedom from suffering. But we can only maintain a finite number of personal relationships, somewhere around 150 people. The rule of 150 was coined by British anthropologist Robin Dunbar and is defined as the suggested cognitive limit to the number of people with whom one can maintain stable social relationships. And thus, numbers larger than this generally require more restrictive rules, laws, and enforced norms. This has implications for what constitutes us versus them. Who we consider we can exceed 150 people, but those people must follow agreed-upon rules, laws, and enforced norms. Even in UU congregations, growing beyond 150 members is often challenging. Most of us are limited in our capacity for loving kindness and compassion. One cause is compassion fade, though it might be more accurate to say that it's a fading of empathy. For example, when we see a single person suffering or in need, we may feel a tremendous amount of compassion for them. However, if we see multiple people suffering, our feeling of compassion tends to fade. If we increase the number of people to thousands, we can feel overwhelmed and have a very muted empathy. This is why it's most effective to engage one-on-one with people with whom we disagree. One exception to this compassion fade I saw recently on Friday evening as over 100 people gathered with a Lights of Liberty rally for the inhumane conditions that are being reported at the border with asylum seekers. In the final verse of the loving kindness meditation, we widen our circle of concern to all beings, wishing them safety, wellness, joy, and freedom from suffering. If we're talking about human beings, we're wishing this for over 7 billion people. If we extend it to sentient beings, the number is much larger. Both are hard to fathom. We can be some or all of our tribe. Our increasing tribalism is a factor in the increasing level of political polarization. In the Hidden Tribes study published last October, it seeks to understand the forces that drive political polarization and tribalism in the United States today, and to galvanize efforts to address them. This was the first study by More in Common, which is part of an international initiative that seeks to tell a new story of us, celebrating what we have in common rather than what divides us. This study concludes that we've become a set of tribes with different codes, values, and even facts. The focus of the Hidden Tribes study is to understand better what is pulling us apart and find what can bring us back together. The study segments voters into 7 groups, from liberal to conservative. On the left are progressive activists, traditional liberals, and passive liberals. On the right are devoted conservatives and traditional conservatives. In the middle, we have the politically disengaged, which is a quarter of all voters, and the moderates, another 15%. So a third on the liberal end, a quarter on the conservative end, and the rest in the middle. Quoting from the study, progressive activists and devoted conservatives together comprise just 14%, or 1/6 of the American population. Yet it often feels as if our national conversation has become a shouting match between these two groups at the furthest ends of the spectrum. Together with traditional conservatives who share the values and tribalism like devoted conservatives, just less intensely, they compose 33% of the people in the groups the study lists as the wings. While the story of the wings may be one of division and conflict, a very different story is found in the rest of America. In fact, the largest group that was uncovered in the study has so far been largely overlooked. This is a group called the exhausted majority. This is a collective term for the four tribes representing a 2/3 majority of Americans who are not part of the wings. Most members of the exhausted majority aren't political centrists or moderates. On specific issues, their views range across the spectrum. But while they hold a variety of views, the members of the exhausted majority are united in four important ways. One, they're fed up with polarization that's plaguing American government and society. Two, they're often forgotten in the public discourse, overlooked because their voices are seldom heard. Three, they're flexible in their views, willing to endorse different policies according to the precise situation, rather than sticking ideologically to a single set of beliefs. And four, they believe we can find common ground. Think about where you fit on this spectrum. I imagine we're a little bit on the liberal end. So the American public is currently divided by four key issues: the impact of immigration, racial justice, sex, gender, and morality, and the threat of terrorism. Tribe membership shows strong reliability in predicting views across these different political issues. The debate over immigration reflects the tension between people who want America to be open and inclusive and others who want America to be safe and secure. May I be safe. Personal responsibility versus systemic injustice is a major conservative-liberal dividing line in the differences over racial justice and police brutality. Conservatives value independence, responsibility, and self-reliance, while liberals are more concerned with systemic injustice and collective responsibility. Independence versus interdependence. Conservatives place more value on authority, while a well-known liberal slogan is "question authority." Issues centered around sex and gender, the abortion debate, and LGBTQ rights reflect tensions over whether we should be more accepting and tolerant or that we are losing our moral foundation. Conservatives are much more concerned with the moral foundation of purity. And terrorism is another issue of safety. Is the threat of terrorism just being used as a scare tactic? Or are we not taking the threat of terrorism seriously enough? The wide gaps on these political and moral issues fuel the rhetoric and animosity we're seeing in the media. While there are real problems and differences, there is also real common ground. 3/4 of the American public agree that racism is at least somewhat of a serious problem, that there should be a pathway to citizenship for dreamers, and that political correctness has gone too far. The Hidden Tribes study highlights several new findings. Our American electorate is complex. We are not just Democrats and Republicans and Independents and Libertarians and Greens. The loudest and most extreme viewpoints monopolize airtime and social media space. The majority of Americans, the exhausted majority, are frustrated and fed up with tribalism. They want to return to the mutual good faith and collaborative spirit that characterize a healthy democracy. We need to relearn how to discuss our genuine disagreements and better understand those differences in core beliefs that express what we value and how we see the world. By acknowledging and respecting the values that animate our beliefs, we can begin to restore a sense of respect and unity. The vast majority of Americans, 3 out of 4, believe our differences are not so great that we cannot come together. We can help make that a reality. So, given all this, how are we called to respond as Unitarian Universalists? Julia Butterfly Hill, the environmental activist, tells about a person who came up to her after a talk saying, "I was so inspired by your talk." Julia replied, "Inspired to do what?" While our sense of us and them is magnified by the moral values we consider most important, as human beings, we also share common needs for safety, well-being, happiness, and freedom from suffering. Our tribalism reflects our fundamental need for belonging. Our different strategies for meeting these needs can cause conflicts in our relationships with the significant people in our lives, coworkers, community, nation, and world. At times, we have to choose whether we want to be right or whether we want to be in relationship. In Rev. Pam's candidating sermon 2 years ago, she spoke about courageous love in our UUC community and out beyond these walls. She challenged UUC to embody courage, to act in spite of fear, to persist in the face of difficulty, to live into our values, and sometimes to let go of what's comfortable. Engaging with people who have very different values requires courage and persistence. Getting out of our bubble is uncomfortable, but it's critical to reducing polarization. My personal response to Julia Butterfly Hill's challenge, Inspired to Do What, has been volunteering with Better Angels, an organization dedicated to reducing the political polarization that's tearing our country apart. Better Angels brings conservatives and liberals together to learn how to talk to each other, to better understand each other, and find common ground where possible. Workshop participants learn to respectfully engage each other and share personal stories of what gave rise to their moral and political positions. Our skills training attendees learn what it takes to have constructive, non-polarizing conversations with people across the divide, people they disagree with politically, and then practice those skills to have these conversations and are encouraged to have these conversations in their social network. This year, we've launched Better Angels Debates, where a group of people think together, listen carefully with one another, and allow themselves to be touched and perhaps changed by each other's ideas. And our brand new Depolarizing Within workshop addresses how we contribute to polarization. Much of today's epidemic of toxic polarization is driven by how we talk with like-minded people about those on the other side. Too often we stereotype, dismiss, or ridicule our fellow citizens who support the other political party, its leaders, and its policies. Another place to engage with people who have different values is our new monthly community conversation, starting 2 weeks from today following the service. Our first conversation will address the America we want to be. These conversations can provide a structured way to engage in friendly yet meaningful facilitated conversation with those whom we may not agree. On Friday evening, I attended the Lights for Liberty rally in downtown Blacksburg, and I was confronted with the tension between staying true to my liberal values and my commitment to reducing political polarization. It was important to me to show up and take a stand against the reported inhumane conditions for migrants seeking asylum. We always need to call out injustice and, when possible, respectfully appeal to the shared moral values of kindness and compassion. As I was leaving the rally, I had a brief conversation with a man asking why people weren't protesting when Obama was doing the same thing. My initial reaction was to challenge the whataboutism, and that I knew was incorrect, and I instead chose to highlight the importance of taking a stand against the current conditions, facts we could possibly agree on. So in closing, I hope you'll be inspired to act in ways suggested by our earlier reading. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters, multiple conversations. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everybody who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everyone is an expert about something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. Remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Real listening always brings people closer together. Trust that meaningful conversations can change our world. May it be so. Our closing hymn today is number 131, Love Will Guide Us. This hymn is universalism's call to change the world with our love. The hope is that we are moved to refocus on love despite the hard nights we've experienced. We really can change the world with our love, building the beloved community, part of the dream of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. King spoke of three different kinds of love, eros, philia, and agape. Building the beloved community challenges us to love not based on the merit of the person loved, but rather unconditionally and based on them as an image bearer of the divine. This hymn was named Olympia after Olympia Brown, the first woman to be fully ordained in America in 1863 in the Universalist Church. As you go forth today, be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Trust that meaningful conversations can change our world. Go in peace.